Well, welcome back, everyone. I hope that you took my advice after our last amazing speaker and maybe got some water, moved your body a little bit, went to the bathroom and got refreshed so that you can have a clear heart and clear mind for our next speaker, who is, her beauty is gracing the Medicine and Mindset Summit virtual stage. And I get to introduce her as not only the amazing CEO and entrepreneur and thought leader and impact driven woman that she is, but I also get to introduce her as my friend, which just brings me so much joy. So Christy Holt is the CEO of Vibonix. Now let me tell you, she's a smart cookie, all right? This Vibonix is an API platform that quantifies wellness using voice analysis AI. All right. In an age of various new ways to measure well-being, and we know there's lots of, apps and different ways we can track on our watch, she has developed a product that is unique to the market in measuring vocal frequency as an insight into emotion. Seriously, and I use it, and it's really, really good. She's also the founder of the Mecca Project, which is a nonprofit foundation on a mission to raise the vibe of humanity. Christy deserves, everyone should be able to thrive, believe they can thrive. And like I said, she's also, besides all of this, she's an amazing mom to four kids and an amazing wife to her husband, Ryan. And she's just someone that when our paths crossed and we both let our little witchy sides out, we were like, yes, her, I want to be her friend. And so when I invited her to the summit, she said yes. And I'm so grateful that she did. So Christy, welcome to the Virtual Medicine and Mindset stage.
Hi, Jana. Thank you so much for having me here. It is such a pleasure to be here with you today.
All right. So we are going to be unpacking the concept of emotional intelligence. So let's start with that. I would love to hear your definition of emotional intelligence.
Well, emotional intelligence is the ability to perceive emotions accurately and use emotions to facilitate decision-making, understanding yourself, manage yourself, express yourself, and most importantly, give yourself empathy to release and let go of those emotions you're experiencing. So that's how, there's other amazing thought leaders that have really paved the path for emotional intelligence, like Daniel Goldman. And I just had a little quote from him to say, this is how the industry has been talking about it. And then what's our niche and how are we making it better? But Daniel Goldman describes it as self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, and relationship management. And it's the general, it factors general mood, adaptability to change, and various personality traits that have been added to the search of what makes up emotional intelligence. So what we did is we took Daniel Goldman's process or understanding of emotional intelligence, and we're able to quantify it through voice analysis AI, because one of the hardest parts about emotional intelligence is self-awareness. Most of us aren't really good about saying how we really feel, even using words to identify emotion accurately. And so our tool that we developed was to take what took me 15 years to understand, give it to our users in 15 seconds.
And you know what I love about the concept of emotional intelligence, and actually Daniel Goldman's, I studied him in my undergraduate when I was a human resource major doing my business degree. And I remember reading and thinking what? Because we all know about IQ, right? And so I love that it gives a framework to talk about emotions, because how many of us maybe were raised or maybe our parents were raised in that, those generations where kids were meant to be seen and not heard, and don't cry like a girl. And, those old belief systems that just don't serve anymore. And so why do you think it's important for us now? And the summit is happening. The new year was just a few weeks ago. So in 2023, why is it important that we should be caring about emotional intelligence?
Well, I have a two-part answer for that. And one is, I believe humanity is expanding and raising its frequency. And in doing so, I think we get to go from the understanding of the mind to the understanding of the emotional mind, which is the way that we feel. And if you study a lot about the universe, then you start to see how resonance is what actually, what resonates comes into reality, right? And so when we're really aware of our resonance, which is all a frequency, then we can start to determine and start to play and control our reality by choice. So I think that's the evolution of humanity, is realizing the importance of our minds, but really starting to understand that we are vibrational beings having a human experience. And when we understand that and we understand our true powers within, and that resonance and frequency is what creates our reality, that we can come into control and also into creative space of creating that reality into whatever we'd like it to be. So I think in one regard, humanity is rising to a new occasion. It's expanding into itself to start to really understand what and who we truly are. The second part of my answer would be, you know, the world we're in today is so different than the way that we were raised or our parents were raised, like you mentioned. Like, there's so much information coming at us in so many different ways. It's not just because our parents said so, our teachers taught us this, or a book that we read, you know, taught us what is happening in the world. Now it's within 5 seconds, we can hear about a bombing or a war in Ukraine, and or we can hear about some opposing beliefs in our government, or we hear about school shootings, or there's so much information that not only us as adults, but our kids are getting at such a fast pace that our nervous system isn't equipped to keep up with it. And so it's sending some kind of crazy signals to our body, and our body doesn't understand and can't recalibrate to that energy systems of information coming in. So when we talk about emotional intelligence, it's really that ability to take all of that information and start to be aware of how it makes us feel. How is our perception of all this information bringing that emotion into our bodies? And when we understand and are aware of it and really increase our emotional management, then we can start to regulate what our body is responding to all this information. But without it, it feels very chaotic, confusing, frustrating. And I think that's why some of the suicide rates are so high, and things like people are just checking out because it's in information overload, right? And all of our belief systems are being challenged. Our perceptions are being challenged. Even our idea of reality is being challenged. And so we need to have tools and processes aware so we can, number one, be aware of how this information world is affecting us. Number two, be able to manage those emotional responses to the information we're receiving. Number three, being able to express these emotions and move them, right? Energy in motion is emotion. We got to move them in a healthy way. And number four, let down some of those attachments, some of those things that keep us in judgment of ourselves and others, and release it, open up to it, let it flow through us and in the form of empathy. So I think those four steps and tools of emotional intelligence in today's world is more important now than ever in the history of humanity because of our technology information phase that we're in.
So I want to just clarify something for me, and maybe just, you know, for our audience. When you talked about those four tools or four strategies, is that how we start becoming more self-aware? Or is that how we start to become almost like connoisseurs of emotional, like managing those emotions?
Well, I'm going to just say yes, okay. but let's maybe talk through that a little bit. So self-awareness is really your ability to accurately identify emotions, understand why you react to the way you do, and recognize the impact it has on you. That is your level of self-awareness. Okay. Self-management is, well, now that I'm aware that these emotions exist and I'm able to identify, wow, I'm feeling or experiencing fear. Like, this is fear. I mean, that is radical self-awareness. Like, whoa, that I can feel that. And I know what that is, right? That's your highest level of awareness, is emotions are present. I'm able to identify them accurately. And I can understand that why I'm feeling this way. And then that second step is, okay, it's here. Now, how do I manage this? Okay, I need to maybe in the moment just feel it. Maybe I need to move it, or maybe I just need to understand it a little bit more, ask it some questions. What is my relationship with this emotion? And can I, I'm going to say a word that some like, some don't, but it's really, can I control these emotions, right? And when you have that ability to control emotion inside of you, that is your highest form of emotional management. And then the next one is, okay, so I identify these emotions. There's my self-awareness. I feel like I've got these emotions under control, but I need these emotions to move, right? I need them to move through me, energy and motion. Emotions want to be felt and heard. They want to be moved. They want to be acknowledged. And that really is what gives us life. Emotion really is what gives life meaning and it helps you experience life as a human being. So how can we move now these emotions? And this is your self-expression. Some people move them through exercise. Other people move them through talking it out and verbalizing with somebody. Some people move them through their breath. Other people move them through movement. But the point is finding healthy self-expression, right? And then last but not least is the empathy, and to not be not empathy that can be confused with sympathy. Empathy is the intensity in which you can experience these emotions. So, and can I experience them without judgment? Can I allow these emotions to be here and not view them as good or bad, but know that they are in purpose? Every emotion has a purpose. Not every emotion serves. So it's really like, can I just show myself compassion and then even gratitude for this emotional experience? And that's really how we define self-awareness and then moving into that process of increasing your emotional intelligence.
Hmm. I really appreciate how you talked about emotions are a way for us to experience life, because it is the ebb and flow that sometimes we retreat from, right? We are, we're drawn to the light and yet we're scared of the shadow, but yet in the shadow is where there's so much beauty and that uncomfortableness, right?
Yeah. And I would even say that's where gratitude lies. Mm-hmm. Like if you don't, you know, I remember, I don't know, for those of us that grew up religious, I remember reading scripture, and you know, if you know me today, I'm not super religious person. I would say a very, very spiritual person, but I love reading people that have taught these types of lessons in the past. But it really started to say, you know, Adam fell that men might be, men are that they may have joy. And I was like, okay, so our natural state is joy. Our true essence of self is joy. Great. Got it. Well, then it goes on to say that if we don't know the opposite of joy or the duality of joy, then joy actually has no meaning or value. So it's when I think about emotions, I am like, I want to feel all of them. I want to be aware of all of them because that's the juiciness. That's what makes me feel human, is that I know what it feels like. The most incredible joy I can think. I mean, holding my baby right after I made a human, like my body just made a human being and it's now here. Oh, I don't know if there was another moment in life. I mean, granted, I got that moment 4 times, but that moment was pure love and joy for me. Now to imagine that little human getting hurt or being hurt or I lost one of my kids one time. Oh my gosh, that pain, that anguish and pain of that same level of joy and bringing that also that pain and having 4 kids, the worry, the stress, the like confusion. I mean, how many times I battle, like, do I go for this one or do I just let it be? Because do I teach them? Because I can see what's coming, or do I just stop? Like, I'm in a constant state of frustration, like with myself. I'm like, what do I do? What do I not do? And questioning and concern. But if I didn't have that joy and all of those other opposite emotions, I don't know that I would know what truly what unconditional love is. And so I just believe that all emotions are like this beautiful song, and that we're playing in our journey of life. And the point is not to just play A, and I think I said this in another time with you, it's not just to play one note because it's the note we feel most comfortable in. It's to hear the entire beautiful array of music. And that's what makes the journey so beautiful. I heard another person say it's like vanilla ice cream. Like, oh, it just tastes so good. Vanilla ice cream tastes so good. But if that was the only thing you ate every single day for the rest of your life, you might not really like vanilla ice cream so much in a couple of years or even in a week. Like it's maybe tasting something really dry and bitter that makes that ice cream even taste that much better. Right. So emotion is the same way. When we can just have a healthy relationship that we're here to experience it and understand it and feel it, then I think we can clear up this idea that emotion is bad or good.
You know, you're making me just, I'm reading a book right now that one of our another one of our speakers from this summit recommended to me when we were doing his interview, and I just finished it. It's like, it was written in 1996, so it's been out for a while, by Dr. John Sarno, and it's called The Mind-Body Prescription. And as I was listening to you speak, what Dr. Sarno is saying is so much of our physical manifestation of pain, back pain, hip pain, headaches, jaw tension, upper back tension, is emotion. And he classifies it, right, as unconscious rage. Like it's not even conscious to us. And so as I was hearing you speak, I wanted to draw that you know, we're talking really about emotions and mindset and the emotional body, but it's not lost on any of us that can loop back around to express itself in a physical way. And then sometimes you get caught in this loop because you don't know why your body's in pain, and it angers you because you feel like a victim. And so tell us a little bit about, from your experience and, you know, working through the research of your app and what you've learned about just how we can start to express our emotion in healthier ways.
I love this thought, but I want to back up to something that you said about how interconnected it is, how interconnected we are, body, mind, and emotion. Now it's been called various things over time, but body, mind, and soul, body, mind, soul, and spirituality, like all the different body energy bodies that we experience in our physical reality. It is so interconnected through energy, and emotion is energy in motion. If like you took all of the feelings out of it, emotion is energy in motion. So when we suppress, ignore, or stuff, or don't move that energy in motion, if we don't put it into motion, that literal energy gets stuck in our body. And our bodies will scream sometimes so loud for us to pay attention and to our spiritual being, or to our soulful being that's here to experience being human, right? So it'll start to physically manifest in our body. And so it's a physical manifestation of something that we think or feel and have stuffed away subconsciously. And your body, I don't know if you've ever read the book, but The Body Keeps the Score. Like these emotions get stored in the body, and then the body will get louder and louder and louder, calling you to heal. And your body, your physical experience, that's why we're on earth, in my opinion, is we are here to experience what it is to be a spiritual being and have value, kind of like we were saying with joy. Like being human is the opposite of spirit, if you know, is physical. So when we experience the physical, it gives value to our spiritual being, just like we talked about joy and the opposite of it. So I believe that if the purpose is for this spiritual being to be eternal, then our bodies are here to serve that purpose and to help us heal those experiences. And so that's how I, on a very spiritual level, believe it, like it's all made up and why, how it's happening for us. So I believe our bodies, and through science, actually, it's not a belief, we can start to show that trapped emotion or emotions that's not expressed or emotion that's suppressed will start to cause dis-ease in our life. And then when this dis-ease is a place that we operate from over time, it literally creates disease in our bodies. And whether it's muscle tension in the beginning that then can turn to arthritis, or whether it's a heart, you know, not being open and connecting with others, but maybe you're feeling restriction in yourself and you keep yourself restriction or in a state of resistance, that's how you have heart attacks. So emotion that's in movement feels like flow, and emotion that is stuffed or suppressed feels restricted or in resistance. And when a body stays in a state of resistance, whether it's, you know, in mine's in my neck a lot, I carry a lot of stress and anger here, you know, but I wasn't supposed to be angry, but by the way, I know exactly where I keep it until I learn how to move it. And I'll go through those, like you said. But once we know that emotions just need to be moved, we got to give ourselves permission to move those emotions and let go of our own judgment we have on them. So our body can stay in flow, and our bodies can stay healthy, and our bodies can just be a more of a vessel up for that energy versus something that we hold on to and keep in resistance. Okay. Oh.
Well, I just want to, I mean, as I was listening to you, where do we, in a world that's so tech driven now, right? And like you said, there's information coming at us all the time. The deciphering of that information can almost numb us to emotion, right? Because we look on someone's Instagram feed and we just see like all the best things that are going on. We're not being taught. We're being taught, you know, what someone, the newest, whatever, Gucci sneakers, but we're not seeing that same person meander through life in a way that you're like, wow, look at how they came out on the other side of that experience. What are your thoughts on that? How do you marry the two? Are they not meant to be married, or how do we navigate this, especially when we are parenting, when we're parenting? That's a tough one.
Well, I'll tell you my big, huge vision of why I think this, but in one answer, I think the world has and wants us to think outside ourselves and look outside for what actually is inside. And we've been taught in many different forms of education. Many, 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 many forms of information have taught us that our self-worth and who we are is something that we seek and look for. We seek it in our things that we do. We seek it in accomplishment. We seek it in children. We seek it in community. We seek so much outside of ourselves. And when we do that, we forget the power within. And I believe in this today's world, that's like on, it's just been amplified that in comparison, in look at other people and forget about what matters most. So my answer, you know, in a roundabout way is from what I heard you ask, I think it is our responsibility to heal and ourselves and remember that this life is a gift to us, to me, and to not put me outside of me, but to bring me back home to me and look inside and ask yourself one question that I think the world has stopped asking is, how do I feel? Because I truly believe that your inner guidance system is your emotion. if this emotion feels like flow to you, like you're tapped in, turned on, and connected to source, that's when you know that this is guiding me in the right way for my true core inner being. This is what's here to support me and to show me and help me understand and navigate through the world. But if it feels in discord, if it feels in resistance, in negative emotion, and by the way, when we talk about positive energy emotion and negative energy emotion, it's that which is charged with that scientific measurement. It's not, it's good or bad, but positive emotion has a positive energy in your body. You can feel it. Negative emotion has negative energy, and that which you can feel as well. So when we're having this information come in, it's our responsibility to ourselves to just stop and ask yourself, how am I feeling about this? And if it's, if you're instantly feeling that positive energy emotion, it's like, wow, there's my guidance that this is bringing me to some truth about the way I perceive it. Or, ooh, the way I'm seeing this is got me confused, frustrated. It's an energy suck, right? It's taking, it's energy taking, not energy giving. So therefore, it is not true. The way I'm seeing it or understanding it is actually a lie that I am believing about something outside of me. Where if I feel it and it feels high positive energy emotion, then it is guiding me to the truth about myself and the way that I perceive it. So I think the world has kind of forgot how rad we are and how amazing and powerful and gifted our true essence of self is, and that our emotions are our guidance system to keep us aligned in truth for ourselves. So when we're inundated with all this information, we come back home and we just check in.
And so I feel like you've been doing a really good job of painting a picture for what you feel, you know, the vision for humanity through emotional intelligence could be. But is there anything around that topic that you want to add to what you've already shared?
You know, I think that the idea of emotional intelligence has been wrapped up in so many different ways of thought leaders in the world that are really sending a message for us to remember who we are. And you have spiritual leaders saying heal, you know, that it's time to heal. And I always say healing is feeling. So that's important to me. And then you have like thought leaders that are saying, hey, if you hold it in your mind, you could hold it in your hands and the power that you have in your mind, right? I feel like in so many industries, you know, religious leaders are saying it's the stillness of the small whisper. So quiet and be quiet yourself so you can hear it. But how do we actually hear spirit, or how do we hear it? We feel it, right? So I feel like for me, I've gone down all these roads, even into the science of our technology of, you know, how's the scientific world saying it? Oh, that's metaphysical. There is some metaphysical energies that we're starting to understand and we can measure and we can actually capture. I mean, there's this truth is disguised and called many, many things. But I think at the core, it is everything is emotion. And so what I'm grateful for is my own journey in all of this. I mean, 5 years ago when I was talking about this, people thought I was like literally speaking a different language, like Chinese. And like, why does that matter, Christy? That's not a business. That no one cares about that. To 2 years where all of a sudden the pandemic hits and people are like, wait a minute, everything that we believe to be true, actually, we don't know if it is real anymore. So if that's not real, what is real? You know, and now people are saying, I don't trust any of this. I just trust this. So now here we are in today's world and talking about how do we talk about it in a way that is agnostic, that people can hear it wherever they are in their journey, understand it, and start putting it into practice. So I think that's what the message today gets to be, is this agnostic approach to feeling emotion, feeling safe to feel emotion, and remembering that emotion is your superpower. It's not your cruelty. It's not meant to make you suffer. In fact, it's your full embodiment of self.
And so along those lines, based on, you know, the research that you've done just for your own, I mean, there's your personal, you know, use of that information, and then for, you know, your company, because I've heard you say this to me more than once, where, you know, you had business advisors saying, you know, if we're going to tell a 12-year-old kid that she is angry, we better darn well make sure that she, you know, that is actually what she's feeling, so that we can take her through a process. And so what do you think is not being talked about enough when it comes to our emotional health, our emotional intelligence? Let's go there now.
That you have a choice. So every thought and every feeling is a frequency. And every day you either consciously or subconsciously are tuning into a frequency. I'll give you an example of what I mean. Like, I don't know if those of us that used to have radio stations, I think they still do in cars. I don't know if I use it very often. Like, I don't turn my dial to a radio station, but if you wake up every day and let's say you just love Sunday sounds. I don't know. I'm thinking of like something soft. There's a play, it used to be FM 100 here where it was like soothing sounds. That's what it was. Soothing music. But and that channel, let's say, is 101.3. Okay. Or 100.3. I'm actually going to stay so I remember, because that's the channel I actually enjoyed. But on channel 96.3 is hard rock. And it's like Rage Against the Machine. It's like this hard rock and roll music. Okay. And every day, if you wake up and you want to hear 100.3, like that's what your soul desires. That's what I want to experience. Yet you keep turning it to 96.3 because you don't believe you have a choice to go to that channel. You're going to get stuck in 96.3 land until you know that you have a choice and you can change the channel. So, the message that I think we need to get out there more is that every thought has a frequency, every emotion has a frequency, and you get to, through your conscious awareness, through those four steps, you can start to choose a different channel of emotion so you can start experiencing the life you desire.
So good. And so I just have one last question to wrap our conversation today. And that is, can you share with us something from your own personal routines or habits that plugs into your mindset?
Absolutely. And I love this question because I started a routine about 6 years ago and it literally changed my life. And I didn't even realize how powerful it was until I started to see everything shift and change. So for me, like you mentioned, I have four kids and a 17-year marriage, and I'm super proud of those things because I don't think it's as common in today's world, and I have amazing kids, but I have very little time for myself unless I carve it out. So I wake up about 5 o'clock every day and I give myself from 5 till 6 to just be with me. And in those moments, I started meditation. And meditation to me is that calming the chaos and bringing it into be able to listen and receive and just attune, like I was saying, to myself and just tap into a greater energy, something that, an energy that everyone can tap into. But for me, meditation was the first thing that shifted my entire life. And then secondly, after meditation, I journal, but not journal like I was taught as a kid, like, oh, my boyfriend said this and my girlfriend said this, and this is what happened yesterday. In fact, I shifted my journaling into an amazing thought leader. Bob Proctor started off with a sentence that says, I'm so grateful and happy now that ... And I would come up with like a mantra every day, and I would practice it for weeks until that thing actually happened. So I'm so happy, you know, for me personally, I've had a lot of ups and downs in my marriage. I've had a lot of ups and downs with myself over the last, so for me to focus on an outcome that would mean the world to me, I started saying, I'm so happy and grateful now that, and for example, I have a happy, thriving marriage, where at one time in my life, that was so far from the truth, but I wanted to move the truth towards that direction. So I started writing that down every day. And then I write down 10 gratitudes. And I know that sounds like a lot for a lot of people, but the only caveat to writing these down is I have to sit there until I can feel it. And so sometimes I'm there for like an hour. Sometimes I'm there for 4 hours, but it's consciously attuning to gratitude, because to me, that's the quickest way to start to shift your frequency, kind of shift your vibe into a more positive state. And so I just write, oh, I'm so happy for my husband. I'm so grateful for my kids. I'm so great. And I started saying, okay, that's not, I want to sit in that. Like, what am I grateful for? And can I feel that gratitude? So I write those 6 down, and then I write down 6 things I'm going to do that day that will help that statement be true. So for example, I started writing down, I'm going to say yes more often. I started feeling myself in a closed mindset, like I knew what reality was and that's what it was and that's all it's ever going to be. I started saying like, oh, what else can I explore? I'm going to be open to more opportunities. I'm going to shine my light so bright that even if you don't meet me, you can feel my light. I'm going to be open to new possibilities and people. I'm going to pay attention to the people that show up and know that they are in alignment with me right here and now. Like I started writing down, those are the 6 kinds of things I wrote down. And then I usually end it with, okay, I'll sit for another moment and whatever comes up, I would write down. Sometimes it would be a place, a person, a thing, a thought, a word, a time. And then I would just marvel at life about how those things start to show up. Like, oh my gosh, I was just thinking about that. And now look at, I just met this person and that's exactly what they do. Or, oh, I wrote that down and I wrote down green. And now look at, someone just brought me this random flower of all this greenery or, you know, something like that, like cool stuff like that just started happening. So my morning practice is one of meditation and gratitude and intention. And I think when we live that way, well, I know from my own experience, when we live that way, we truly are painting the life we desire. And we're like attuning to that frequency to experience what we want to experience.
I know that our audience has taken so many little nuggets away from you. And I love that you framed your journaling in something different than like a dear diary, which I think so many people even at our, you know, we go back there, we're like, okay, wait, I used to write in a diary. Is that what journaling is? Because I don't know if I want to be going there. So thank you for the gift of that frame. Because I do think for a lot of people, they believe that, you know, meditating is oming and, you know, sitting cross-legged. It doesn't have to be. Meditating can be still or moving, or, you know, journaling can be, yeah, you know, that a simple gratitude, waking up in the morning and, you know, what are the first thoughts that enter into your mind? So I want to thank you for that. And I just want to ask if people in our audience, I know, are going to want to connect with you, where's the best place for them to, you know, to find you either on social media or website?
Well, thank you. Jenna, you asked a question a little bit ago, and before we leave, can I answer a question I don't think we answered?
Yeah.
You asked me like, how do we manage and express emotion? Do you remember you asked that question? I wrote it down and we didn't get quite to it. And I just wanted to give like 5 simple tips that they could adopt or anyone could adopt today as they start being more aware of emotion. Would that be okay? Okay, great. Okay. So number 1 is just label your emotion. Start to, and we don't label it like, oh, that's such a label. I'm not talking about, you know, don't label, that's bad. It's name it. See if you can start to name your emotion. And there's a part of your brain that will go and bring that truth to you. So when you say, and it will start to also reduce the intensity of emotion. So just by saying the words, I am feeling or experiencing anger, it's like giving anger a voice and giving anger a space to move. It's like calling it forward and letting it move out of your body. The second one is just check in with your body. So remember I said, like, how am I feeling? And your body will show you, like, kind of like a body scan of where you're holding tension in your body. And I mean, and in your physiology. So I would just ask your, like, just do that check-in. And I always put my hand on my chest and like, how am I feeling? And even if it's like a 2-minute meditation as you scan your body and let your body show you, because your body is so intelligent and it wants to communicate with you. And then just move, you know, part of the body has got to move. So intentionally get up, do some jumping jacks, or, and it really moving your lymph nodes, it gets toxins out. So when we say toxins, have you ever wondered what that is? It's emotion, right? So get those toxins out of our bodies, and it's essential. And as you know, like, the lymphatic system doesn't have muscles, or it's got to keep moving, right? And that's really how we can move those energies in our emotional energies. And another one with your body is smiling. I know, you know, there's all these studies around smiling and frowning, but just smile at yourself and smile to feel good. Look in the mirror and smile. When you look at your kids, smile. Like, practice smiling, and it just will start to shift that energy within the body. Okay, step three, or another tip, is breathe. I know you talk about this all the time, but the breath is what helps us bring presence into our life. And it also just floods oxygen into your system. But I just went
oxygenation.
Thank you. So smart. But it really fills your body with oxygen. And then the fourth tip I would say is talk it out. And we use this in our app where you can go and just literally talk it out and just talk it out with yourself, and then go listen to your story, hear the story that you're telling, see if that story serves, and see if you want to retell this story, and do it with yourself like 2 or 3 times. And then if you need to actually go and have that conversation that brings a lot of that intensity or that emotion, then just, you're more prepared to have a better conversation when you've talked it out with yourself a couple of times. And we believe in this so much that we made it so you could record your voice and then play it back to you and hear yourself tell your story. And how would you respond to you? Right? It's a really cool practice. And then number 5, I would say, give it a rest. Like, you know, that whole don't go to bed mad, or I don't know if you were given that advice when you got married or when you got married, but I think that that is false. Give it a rest. When we sleep, we literally are giving our bodies rest. The energy systems in our bodies are calming and soothing, and it's our way to rejuvenate. So sometimes when this emotion is really heightened, if you can allow yourself, I'm going to feel you later. I would like to experience you later. Right now, I'd like my body to rest. And literally give your body a rest. And then tomorrow, when you attune to a new station, that energy is going to come and feel a little bit different. And the only thing with this is make sure you bring yourself back to it so it can move, and then go through those 4 steps above, or that we already talked about. So those are just the 5 tips of moving and managing emotion.
So good. So good. It's such a great way to end this, because I think sometimes we believe that it's hard and dramatic and it takes so long, but it really is the simplicity where the little shiny gems are.
And now to answer your final question, where can you find us, or how can you come and join our community? Or if you want to bring our technology, if you're a coach or a therapist or somebody who, if you're a mom, if you're a friend, if you are a family member, we have amazing, we are a B2B company, but we consider you a business if you influence more than five people around you. If you are wanting to bring this into your women's circles, your groups, group circles, your conversations, we invite you to bring all five of your friends and then up from there. And you can visit us at www.vibonics.com. And it's vibe, as in like, what's your vibe? And then onyx, which those of you that know what onyx, it's healing. So it really is a beautiful space and technology to give you in 15 seconds, what took me years and years to understand, where you can start to give yourselves an emotional intelligence score and then work through that process.
Christy, thank you so much for being here on our Medicine of Mindset Summit. You brought a really unique perspective that, you know, none of the other speakers really touched on. So I want to thank you for that. And gang, that wraps another episode here at the summit. So it's time for your stretch and your water break, and we will see you back on the next episode.
Thank you. Take care.